this is Michael McElhenney. I have the honor of being with Dean Anderson here on the phone. Dean is the CEO of Being First and the co-author of Beyond Change Management, How to Achieve Breakthrough Results Through Conscious Change Leadership, and the Change Leaders Roadmap, How to Navigate Your Organization's Transformation. Dean is unique in terms of a change leader. He brings a very, very intricately informed perspective to the actions of conscious change leadership. So thank you, Dean. Appreciate you being here with us.
Happy to be here, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. Hey, Dean, so let's dive right in and really explore what your current interests are. What are you excited about right now?
You know, my passion right now is what it's always been. It's just amplifying in spades, and that's the whole notion of shifting consciousness to really drive sustainability and social justice on the planet. And being able to take a tier two perspective on what that looks like from a large system process perspective. In other words, how does this self called the Earth, with all of us 6 billion plus inhabitants, move to the next level so that we can shift our systems so that we can sustain life in a really abundant-based way?
Sounds like a pretty tall order. What's your approach to that?
Well, I guess it starts with me, right, in terms of just waking myself up and staying as conscious as I possibly can moment by moment. So that never leaves me. That's always alive and present, whether I'm with self, with my loved one, friends, or with a client. And then on the professional level, my approach is very much taking a conscious change leadership approach, which what I mean by that is helping leaders wake up to the different aspects of themselves and understand they do have a mindset and an ego and that, you know, their worldview is causative in their life, and collectively our worldviews are causative on our planet, so that people can begin to turn inward and actually understand what's going on inside. And then on the outside is to take a conscious approach to designing and facilitating, implementing large systems transformational change processes that are attending to, you know, all the aspects of an integral worldview and helping people move from more of a command and control space to more of a collective co-creative space.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like quite a challenge. You're talking about organizational transformation. You know, we all know it certainly works a lot better if it's co-created. How do you bring groups together, Dean? What's your strategy for doing that?
Well, the kind of maypole that we put in the ground is what we call the Change Leaders Roadmap. And what we're finding is a really effective approach is that if people can get clear on just the generic process through which organization transformation occurs and understand it not as a rigid linear process, but something that needs to be designed and course-corrected continually as you move. But there's a underlying kind of roadmap, much like behind the software you're using on your computer, there's an operating system, and that operating system enables the software. In the same way, there's an inherent way in which change moves, right? There's an inherent process of transformation. And the more we can help people understand that so that they're conscious of that, then they can begin to co-create the activities and tasks that are required to consciously move that process forward. And so we bring people together around that understanding and then work with them in a way that allows them to begin to relate to each other differently, relate to circumstances differently, relate to themselves differently, because they're awake to the underlying dynamics of what's causing the circumstances they're facing. And the whole notion for us, the name of our company, is Being First. So what we're always trying to help people understand is what's an ego dynamic and what's a dynamic that's coming out of spirit and soul being, without putting any kind of spiritual religious overtones to it, but just from a practical performance standpoint, because when they're operating from, you know, real presence in themselves, they perform better. Life works better.
Dean, this is really fascinating to me, this idea of co-creating and really growing together. It sounds like you're talking about not only are they trying to transform the organization, but they're also trying to support each other's own growth in order to do that. Sounds like a really tall order. Do you have any examples of a particular challenging organizational transformation and some of the things that you've discovered as you were trying to work with this particular organization?
Yeah, one comes to mind. You know, the model that we use is what we call win-win-win, and three wins intentionally, the first win being the big win. And when we say co-creating, for us it's different than collaborating. You know, that's more of a win-win approach where it's you and I working together for what's going to meet your need and what's going to meet my need. But what's missing is the larger system. So we're not looking, you know, up the spiral or up levels. You know, we're not looking to the greater whole. And so collaboration can happen, you know, if we can use the spiral dynamics terms, you know, very much from a green level, right? So it's all about you and I working together. But we're missing the deeper dimensions from that perspective, and we're missing the larger wholes from that perspective. And so co-creating is all about understanding that there's, you know, larger holes all the way up. And so you're looking up and across, and the first thing you're attending to is what's right for the larger system. So if you and I are in relationship and we have conflict, there's a thing called the relationship. And as long as we're both adhering to, I'm never going to do something that's going to damage the relationship, now I've got a container in which I can really argue with you, you know, because I'm going to do it in a way that's respectful and it's looking out for you because I'm operating from a higher place in my own self. And if I'm doing that as an organizational leader, I'm attending to my organization in a way that I'm looking at what's best for it and the customer and the market, and maybe even the environment, as opposed to what's best for my function or region that I might be the president of. So with that in mind, I love this story, is that we do a four-day very deep retreat with senior executives when we start off a large transformational effort in big corporations. And one client, about a month after that happened, I got a call from the president, who was number two in the company, and he was all excited because he runs their budgeting process, and it just came out of their first resource allocation meeting for the new budgeting cycle, and was blown away that he had two senior VPs actually offer up budget to somebody else on the team because they saw that it was better for the organization to do that.
Wow.
And I know you've been in boardrooms, so you know how that never happens, right?
Very rare. Absolutely.
They were pressed into this worldview, right? They really got that their primary self from an organization standpoint was the organization. You know, it wasn't them and their own fiefdom. Right?
Yeah.
That's a powerful breakthrough.
Oh, without question. Yeah, and it is incredibly rare. You know, you think about it, Dean, the most important large-scale changes that we've ever witnessed in this culture, for example, in the what we were talking about earlier about the work I did in South Africa, you know, the only way the two African parties were going to come together is when they saw the future together, and they saw a future that that gave them both hope. So it sounds like you do very much the same thing in an organizational context.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we teach, you know, a fundamental, which is that there's two major forces, right, that's driving, I mean, between you and I and people on this call, we could say driving life. You know, for an organizational leader, I'll talk about it in terms of driving change. And one is that force of growth that's pushing us all to kind of bump up against our edge. And there's an edge dynamic. You know, when I come up, when I'm expanding in myself and I bump up against my fear, there's a natural contraction. And how you navigate that contraction is fundamental to navigating life at any scale. So that's one force. You know, the other force is the force of perfection and the whole that already exists, you know, in an enlightened, unconditional being state, and that's always pulling us forward. Well, we can leverage that with groups where there's inherent conflict, where we can say, look, what's the team we're both a part of? You know, ultimately, we can all say we're part of humanity, we're part of life, but it might be we're part of this community, we're part of this nation, might be we're part of this organization. And as soon as we find a connecting point on what's bigger, you know, then we can say, well, what's the future we want for that larger self? And now all of a sudden we've tapped into that force that pulls us forward because we're tapping into the perfection of what's possible. And we can have that conversation in organizations without all of the deeper integral and spiritual understanding that we all in this call might have. We can have that with folks that don't really get it that perspective, but they get it from their life experience of having things work in community.
Wow. You know, this is really powerful for me. One of the thoughts I'm having right now, Dean, is that, you know, you hear Ken Wilber, for example, talk about the move from ethnocentric to world-centric, and that's always felt like a really huge leap, right? And I've always understood that there's tons of little leaps in between that. And what you're describing are those little leaps, right? Those leaps like, okay, you not just about me and the people like me. It's about me and something larger than myself, and that could be an organization or a particular region or a cause, if you will. It sounds like you're helping people do that in an organization system as it begins to transform the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think where the PowerPoint is of what you're bringing up, Michael, is that we can all have, as maybe more integral or spiritual practitioners, we're meditators. We're up against our edge all the time when thought brings us someplace else. It's the same dynamic played out at scale, right, in conflict between maybe those two executive vice presidents that used to compete for resource, right, or two parties, political parties. It's the same underlying dynamic when you come up against edge. So we can take our larger wisdom, though, our deeper wisdom, and apply it in a way that actually is languaged in a way that, the recipient out there in the world can hear it, and we can tie it to their life experience because, they had the challenge on the sports team. They saw at the PTA meeting where conflict broke down the whole, right? And you can help them connect to that and then simply, reveal to them the process dynamic. That's what our interest is in it being first. What's the process dynamic that if we can make it conscious, then they can navigate it?
Yeah, I really, really like that, where you're really highlighting to people that they're already in process of change.
Right.
They're already in that growth process. And I think what your invitation is to make it more intentional and to make it more shared.
Right, absolutely. And one of the things I think where we make mistakes in this field is we stand in let's say the green ideology, right? And so it's all about now, you might use the words collaboration or co-creating, but the point is it's all about, the whole. But the issue is, if I'm a red person or a blue person or operating that way in the moment, the dynamic when I come up against my edge is the same process dynamic no matter where I live in the spiral. And what's interesting to us is that what we're interested in is helping people understand the process dynamic, right? What happens when you come up against your edge? And what does your ego want to do with that? And what is your being capable of doing with that? And now let's experiment with that place, no matter where you are in the spiral, let's experiment with that place. And if they get adept at that, then it doesn't matter where they're at, right? They can spike up to a level too high, or they can regress down to a level too lower, but they know how to navigate. And we can do that at scale as well.
That's fascinating. And I think that probably that understanding that you describe about, the shift from one level to the next is the same no matter where you are on the spiral. I think that people have an intuitive understanding that that's true. But, when you talk about it, if we got really, really micro about that shift, what does it look like?
Well, fundamentally, you're bumping up against contraction. So the easiest way I know to talk about it is talk about it in energy terms. Mm. And so you're bumped up against fear, and so now we know by definition that that's, of course, ego-generated. It's the false self, and it has a certain set of dynamics that go with it. So when I come up against contraction, what my ego wants to do is, one, either run from it, right? I'm going to flight. That doesn't do anything other than sustain it. The other is I'm going to fight it. So the example is my choice is to not eat the ice cream. I have the urge to eat the ice cream, and then I go into denial. No, I'm not going to eat the ice cream. And, of course, the voice then says, yes, you are, louder. No, I'm not, and yes, you are. Because every time you push on contraction, you amplify the contraction. Of course, one of the ego dances is that you do that, so you stay stuck in the contraction.
Mm.
The only other choice you got is rather than run away or stay and fight it and make it worse, is just to bring your presence to it and face it and surrender into it.
Mm-hmm.
Fall into it. Let go into it. Let it wash over you. Let it overcome you. Let it emerge through you. Because when you go into receive, you actually shifted state. You shifted from wherever you are in the ego state, wherever it's manifesting, red or blue or orange, whatever. And now you're opening, right? So you're opening to being. And when that happens, of course, then the energy of the contraction can move through you, and any psychotherapist knows the dance. No matter what techniques you're using, if they work, you're the same dance. And so you let that energy move through you, and then what, of course, happens is you resolve, and now you're in that state of openness, operating more from a being state. And wow. This plays out moment by moment with the ice cream or in the argument with your spouse, but it also plays out at scale in organizations. I'll give you just a short, quick example.
Mm-hmm.
We were supporting a three-way merger of three financial institutions. There was some bad behavior, unethical behavior, at least defined by some people that way. I won't get into that, but of the CEO. And the CEO left, and the remaining leaders wanted to basically go south, right, and let time heal the wound. And, of course, what that does, of course, it amplifies the wound, right? So they were going to ignore it. They wanted to communicate to their staff, everything's going to be okay. You know, we're doing fine. Business is fine. Just carry on. Now, our coaching to them was, you do that, you will have this fester for a decade. It will never go away. The only way you can heal this is to turn into it and ask for the anger to come your way and get big enough in yourself to hold the space for your 10,000 people in your organization to get really pissed off, because they should, right? It's natural for what happened. Mm. Right? And, of course, they did that, and what came out of it was a catapulsion over 60 days where, as a team of a whole organization, they recreated their vision for the next decade.
Mm.
Right? So it's a beautiful example of, even at scale, when you hold the space for the contraction, it spirals up and evolves to a higher order.
Wow.
Same dynamic, whether it's moment by moment or in the organization or at the planetary level.
And it's tremendously powerful. And, in the Gestalt world I come from, that's called the paradoxical theory of change, right? You become more of who you are, and all of a sudden you're different. And it's not a simple process, but certainly, the way you describe it is so eloquent. So, Dean, you've got this leadership collaborative, and sometimes, now that I've heard you speak, I want to call it a leadership co-creation to really help us aim to that higher aspiration. So we've got that coming up, and you clear on what you want to share with the folks in this collaborative that we have coming up?
Well, I'd love to take the conversation that we're having and expand it and go deeper with it. And the orientation for me would be the juxtaposition between consciousness and process.
Mm-hmm.
And what are those dynamics that play there, so that maybe we can articulate them and frame them in a way that we can then bring them to wherever it's pertinent, to the individual coaching we do or the team development we do, or helping leaders transform their organizations, or helping leaders transform the planet, along with the rest of us, of course. But the point is, the people that are designing change, I'd love to talk about that juxtaposition of consciousness and process.
Mm-hmm.
Because my belief is, the more we understand that dynamic, then the more effective we're going to be at building a sustainable place to live.
Well, Dean, that seems like an absolutely perfect place to end this conversation for the moment. And you certainly have me incredibly interested in being part of your work with our collaborative. I've already teed up to download from Kindle one of your books, because I've just found this conversation incredibly compelling. Certainly, you are you're a gifted integral practitioner, and thank you so much for this time, and thank you so much for being part of our collaborative.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I really look forward to it, and look forward to spending more time with you.
Excellent.